Happy Pride Month! This is your Divinely Queer host, Asa Laveau, letting you know that this episode and each one during Pride Month is brought to you by Queer Money Gang. Join now at queermoneygang.com. Hello, beautiful people. This is another episode of the Entrequeur Show with Asa Laveau. And who am I? I am your divinely queer host, Asa Laveau. So excited that you have chosen to be here at another time. And yes, this is Pride Month. This is Pride Month. I say that in the same way of it's about to go down. I am very excited about Pride Month. Why? It has taken forever. It has taken literally forever for us to come back together, reconvene, celebrate who we are, how we were born, the way we love, the things that make us spectacular. It has been a really long time, or it just feels that way based on everything that we have had to individually experience as well as co-experience since the last time Pride was, you know, actually celebrated. So I am very thankful for this Pride edition of the Entrequeur Show. I am very honored to be the host. If you are not quite clear about the entrequeur term, like what in the world was he thinking when he said entrequeur? What are you trying to do there? So what my intent is behind that term that I coined is that there is this intersection of all things business and all things divinely queer that I desire to play in. And I desire to play in it because those are the two things that really, really represent a lot of my day-to-day activities. I put a lot of energy into both of those worlds on a continuous basis. So that's why I coined the entrepreneur term. And this is all about you. So for those LGBTQ2+ individuals that are looking to start businesses, are in businesses, and you're like, I just need to know how I can do this, or how is it done? Are they like, there really are queer people in business? Like, that's a thing? I am here to tell you, it is a whole thing. We are a vibe, people. We are an entire vibe. So while you are doing the goings and comings of Pride Month, one thing that could possibly happen, I'm not saying it's going to, but it could, you might be at Pride, right? Let's say you at a day party, which, you know, I have a couple reservations for a couple Pride parties. And let's say you look across your section to another section, you look at them, you're like, God day. I say again, God day. They're fine as hell. And then you tell your people with you, like, y'all look over there. They are fine as hell. And they looking at me. Like, they look, all right, don't, like, fuck around and find out. Like, they looking at me. And then you find yourself around September, October. You all in love. Y'all done moved in. Y'all sharing a bathrobe and everything else. And then you decide, you know what? I'm really feeling you to the point that I would love to start a family with you. Or, you just wake up one day and find out, yeah, I'm about to start a family. Like, a family is coming. You didn't know it. You didn't know you wanted it, but it's happening now. So what do you do? What do you do when you are thinking about, okay, so I went to Pride, went to a day party, fell in love with somebody, and now I want to start a family, or I done popped up and done got myself into a situation that I wasn't necessarily wasn't ready for, wasn't even planning on, but here we are. And what do you do as a queer identified person? What do you do? Where do you go? Like, are there even people that help us after the pride? Because, you know, pride goes down, a lot of things happen, and then, you know, it's months after you have to deal with all the things that you did during pride, and like, oh crap, so this is what pride got me. Yep. So what do you do? Like, literally, who's out there for us in those moments? Who's out there for our friends? Because sometimes it's not us. Sometimes we just have a friend, they like, girl, you know exactly what you did. Yes, you do. You know exactly what you did. This is what's happening. But in the same time, you never want to shame anyone. You want to make sure that you're being a source of light, a source of love for those in your world. So who do you go to? Well, I believe that I have found someone that we all can go to. And if we don't find ourselves in a particular situation in life, but we find out that our friends are, we can now tell them too. We know somebody, like somebody is out there for us, like actually for us, not pandering us, not belittling us, not putting a little sorry ass rainbow flag at their reception desk in June, reluctantly. No, somebody is actually for us. So without further ado, I would love to introduce to you all a beautiful individual by the name of Shayla. Shayla, are you there?
I am here. Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Of course we're going to do that. You, Shayla, we're not crazy.
I love the energy.
So we are very clear about our desire to normalize genders and gendering. So please let us know what pronouns you use.
I use she, her, they.
Awesome. So with that being said, one thing I would really like to know, before we even get into it, I would really like to know, what was the TV show that made you bust a gut? I mean, laugh your little head off as a girl. Like, what show was that for you?
Oh my gosh, that's so interesting, because I was actually like a nerd. Yes, I was like a huge nerd. So I've always loved watching documentaries and like really serious stuff. So yeah, my laughter came from more so like my family and my friends, stuff like that. But what I was watching and reading, yeah, I was very serious, very serious.
Well, I definitely get that. And I say I get that because I was someone who was 11 watching Nova on PBS.
Yes, 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 yes. All but, that. Yes.
But the thing about it is I eventually... Since I was already on PBS and Nova, I believe Nova was came on Saturday afternoons. I think there was something on Sunday. But then after Nova, it was like Anne of Green Gables. And then after that, it was all these British shows. So I started learning about shows like The Vicar of Dibley, Are You Being Served, Mr. Bean. All these 80s and 90s British shows. And so that's where I found my laughter was from that. It was just by happenstance. So I really do get the whole nerd thing. Like, I wanted to do was read my Sherlock Holmes book and play my Fyrograph. That was all I wanted to do.
Yes, I feel like I just lied because I just came to mind. But I loved watching The Facts of Life.
Oh, which character was your favorite?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I can have a favorite. I absolutely loved them all. It was their dynamic for me. It was seeing this group of girls just being so silly and so free with each other, even though they look different. It was just that whole dynamic. And I mean, hilarious jokes on jokes. It was the best of times. So that was probably like my one show that I would really like laugh hard to.
I like that you brought that up. Because even though I'm not a woman and not woman identifying and have no desire to speak for women, that's not what I'm doing here. But remembering the facts of life and remembering the casting of that show, as well as the different topics that they grappled with, it seems to me that that was the most revolutionary show in terms of women appreciating women beyond their appearance and beyond their background that I have ever seen since then.
100%. Absolutely. I would say like it was, I could say it was ahead of its time, but it really wasn't because
right.
in its creation, that was the time. You know, that was the time of so many of these civil rights movements taking place. And it was kind of a reflection of that. So to be, you know, young and coming sometime after that and to look up and see like, oh, okay, they was doing it. Like, they were saying what needed to be said. They were doing what needed to be done. And that was just it. That was the fact.
The facts of life.
I admire that so much. And I think that I carried that with me for the rest of my life. Because I'm very much so in the same way of just saying what needs to be said, doing what needs to be done, and standing up for what needs to be stood up for, point blank period.
Mm-hmm. And in your saying what needs to be said, do you find yourself saying what needs to be said in the line of work that you do as someone who is really, really owning your space as someone who's available to be a birthing, I'm just going to say it, a birthing goddess
I love
within
that.
The within the BIPOC and LGBTQ2+ space.
Yes, I definitely do. And that's a major part of my job, particularly as a Black woman, also a part of the community. For Black women in particular, and then you add in Black LGBT people, it can be a really scary space, a really, really scary space. But as a birth worker, my job is to be that mouth that you don't want to be because you're nervous about how they're going to view you and how they may or may not handle your care. I'm going to support you because, see, what we're not going to do is we're not going to continue silencing ourselves in order to make anybody else comfortable. And in order to play this role that we are told we need to play in order for us to get decent and proper care. That's what we're not
doing. Right. And have you found that people feel like they, in order to get proper care as someone in the LGBTQ2+ space or in the BIPOC space, like we have to put on a robe of decorum per se in order to get care?
Absolutely. Within both of those spaces, as I occupy both of those spaces, I for sure have experienced it, which is a major reason of how I got into the space and how I became to do what I do. But I definitely see it. And I see it from my clients who come to me from both of those communities. Their literal words often are, I just want to live, or I just want to have a good experience. Like, I don't want the trauma. I just want to enjoy this. And those hit you hard. Because if you forgot for the slightest of moment why you were really in this, there it is. Because our lives are dependent upon it. It's fact-based that we receive different care when it comes to the medical system. And it's based on a number of different biases, a number of different medical ideologies that have been perpetuated throughout the years. it's deeply, deeply rooted into its system. And when you are a single person, and by single, I don't mean like relationship-wise, but just a singular person trying to navigate this space that feels like 20 times huger than you are, you can feel small, and it's easy to get in. When the doctor comes in, you get nervous, right? Or you try to make sure that you're saying all the right things so that they see you as this intellectual person that is just cool. Like, you just want to be cool, get in, get out, not stir up anything. But no, that's not how you should be approaching care. You should be approaching care by putting your full and unapologetic self on display and finding someone who works well with that.
Okay, you brought up the term unapologetic self. Mm-hmm. I have not had this conversation on this show yet.
Okay.
We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it,
Daniel. Let's have it.
I use the term unapologetic. Not a lot, but I use it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I am an 80s baby who was brought up Church of God in Christ.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Who has 19 years of military experience.
Woo!
Right. Yeah, add that shit on top of it.
Right.
So with all of that, I feel that I have been very problematic to my queer siblings. I have been problematic in regards to, but not vocally. Thankfully, not vocally, but my thing is, what you have in your heart is what's real. Because I definitely learned a long time ago, if it doesn't breathe life into somebody, just sit your ass down somewhere. So I've had several seats myself. But at the same time, I know that I've looked at people like, you calling that unapologetic, and I'm calling that not knowing where the hell you at. Like, you need to sit your ass down somewhere. So. As an older queer person, mm-hmm. and yes, I turned 30. I've turned 38 in June, so yes, I get it. But you get it. I mean, people that listen to the show like 23, 25. So as an older queer person, you know, my thing is I want people to, you know, live out loud and live in color and be that unapologetic self. And is there even in the world that you live in and what you do and what you've seen, is there a difference of being unapologetic or unprofessional or untrained or uncouth? Like, is that all different things? Is that based on just a pure judgment call? Like, what is the difference in that? Or that may be too heavy of a question as well.
No. I think depending on the word you want to use, it has many different aspects. Unapologetic, I consider it to be like a spectrum. There's many different stops along that line. And yeah, there are times when you are being authentically or unapologetically yourself, but in the space that you're in at that moment, that's just not appropriate. And vice versa. So it just depends on what being unapologetically you looks like and the space that you're in. Because at the end of the day, at least for me, I'm always mindful of the fact that when I step into a room, it's not just me stepping into a room. It's me, the lesbian, Black entrepreneur, I come with so many different things behind me, or with me rather, and I'm always aware that when I step into a space, I'm representing all of that. So me personally, I'm going to be unapologetically me, but I'm going to be unapologetically me in a way that honors myself and all that comes with me in the space that I'm in at that moment. So I'm not sacrificing, diminishing any part of myself. I'm just knowing how to conduct myself in certain spaces that allows me to feel good about it at the end of the day, because that's all that matters.
I understand. I totally get it. And excuse me, as the listener or, you know, people within our sphere of influence are preparing for the birthing journey, mm-hmm. what are there ways to be unapologetic in the birthing journey? Like, are there ways that, I guess, we find ourselves diminishing parts of ourselves and we may not even be aware that we're even doing it?
Absolutely, 100%. So I am not like anti-traditional medical or Western medical system. I'm not 100% anti-medical system at all. But what I am anti is the racism, the bigotry, the discrimination, and the biases that are deeply rooted within said system. And those things create such anxiety for various different marginalized communities. And for the LGBTQ plus community, when you go to the doctor, you're not like in your head kind of mentally preparing yourself for it. You're not thinking about all the questions they're going to ask you, how you're going to respond to them, if they ask you who this person is with you, how you're going to tell them that that's your partner.
Most like we've all definitely
we've all been there. So in those moments, we are making, whether it be conscious or subconscious, decisions to try to present ourselves in a certain way that doesn't step on anybody's toes, right? And we don't disturb the peace, because we want to keep as much of a cool, low profile as possible, because we've seen what happens when things, you know, go left with all of our communities. And it's something that we've gotten too comfortable in doing. So when you are looking to start your family, the last thing you want to do is think about compromising yourself, your space, what you want your birth to look like. And you don't have to, regardless of what we've been told for so long, you don't have to. There is a way to create the type of pregnancy care team, and the type of birth that you desire and that works for you and your family, however that looks. And you don't have to settle for any one thing.
And thank you for saying that. You don't have to settle. Like,
no,
everybody
absolutely.
Listening, remember that. You don't have to settle. I appreciate you saying that, especially during Pride Month, damn it. But all the other months too, do not settle. Facts. So I love that you told me more about, you know, your passion for it. And one thing that I have been consciously clear about during this Pride edition of shows is that my desire is never to focus on the grim, despairing, sucky aspects of being queer identified. Like, I'm not with the shits. That's not where my mind is. And I've said it before, the same thing for when we do Black History Month. I get it. It seems like we turn to a people that become victim or trauma obsessed for those 28 days. And what I would like to remember with my Black ancestry, my queer ancestry, is that our people laughed and they danced and they flirted and they said slick slash shit while they was drinking a whiskey. Like, all that happened. So with that being said, I would love to know, what is a really sweet, delicious memory or something that took place in the business at that intersection of queerness and entrepreneurship in your business that you would like to share with us? Because we would really like to, of course, we know that there are struggles in both sides. So the queer side struggle, entrepreneurial side struggle, we got it. It's gonna happen. But what is something that was juicy that took place that makes your belly grin when you think about it?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think it's not necessarily like juicy per se, but it's something that like makes me smile from my inside out. When I was first starting my business, actually, I hadn't even started my business at that time. I was still doing some trainings, and it was just like one of those, okay, angels, spirits, guides, I see y'all, because y'all came through on this day of today for me. And I was just in this training program that I really just hated. I could not stand it, but it was what I could afford at the time. And so I was just doing it to get through it. And then one day I was happened to be on social media, and I saw the school that I really, or the training program that I really wanted to enroll in. That was like my dream program. And I saw that they had posted about an upcoming training they had. So this was like a mind to hand moment. And I just typed into the comments. I was like, hey, I love you guys. I love the work that you do for the community. And I, you know, hope once I'm able to get my finances worked out, then I'm able to take your course. And normally I wouldn't post something like that. It was just literally, before I could think about it, it was out. So posted that, and then maybe 10 minutes later, this woman inboxed me, and she was like, hey, I saw your comment, and I was about to enroll in the program, but I realized that it wasn't necessarily geared towards me. And even though I can't take it, doesn't mean that I can't support somebody else in taking the course. So she gifted me the full amount to enroll in that course, and I was able to take that training.
And you said that wasn't gonna be juicy.
I don't know, it just wasn't what I think of juicy, but it was definitely a moment for sure.
No, that was perfection. Like, that was like, so my thing is we sometimes think that our journey into entrepreneurship or the ability to stay in entrepreneurship is going to look a certain way. So sometimes you may think that's going to kind of come the angel investor shark tank kind of way, or we think it's going to be, through a round of funding. And we don't realize that there's just somebody out there in the world that's going to silently make a grand gesture on your behalf, and it's going to make the entire damn difference.
And the entire difference, like, that literally changed the trajectory of my career, and I'm just forever grateful to her. And she happens to be part of the queer community, and I absolutely just adore her. And she also doesn't look like me. So there was that aspect of it. And this was like when everything was really at a peak with social injustice. And it was just for all of that to be combined into that moment, like the queerness, the blackness, the business, it was just, if I ever for a second doubted if I was doing the right thing, that was it. And then she continued, like, she later started a GoFundMe for me and helped me raise money.
Wow.
Oh, she has been the true definition of an angel. Like, the true definition of an angel.
Now, that just made you, that made me want to hallelujah step real quick.
It did.
That story. I really like that.
My career has been cultivated by the community. I am truly the people's doula. I am truly here for us. And it is us that has gotten me into so many different spaces and given me so many different opportunities. And without those people who I humbly and graciously serve in my work, I wouldn't be able to say that I've completed so many things that I've dreamt about.
And I'm so thankful that you were able to experience that. Because I just, it just made me feel good to, it's going to help me the next couple of days hearing that story for sure. And I'm sure that I'm positive that it's going to make a difference in somebody who's listening, going to make a difference in their world as well. And with, so now that we understand what it is you do, how what it is you do is so necessary to the point that somebody actually funded, helped fund your dream, like somebody said yes to you, how can we say yes to you in a way of connecting with you and saying yes to your services?
So you can connect with me via Facebook and Instagram. Both of them are A Goddess Garden Birth. And it's the same logo, so you'll find us. And then you can also go to www.agoddessgardenbirth.com. And you can check us out on there as well. One thing I do all year round is I collect different baby items and gently used baby items. And I also take donations as well. And all of the things that I acquire, whether it be clothes, toys, whatever, they go to helping families in the community in need. Let's be honest, not everybody has a child when it's the most opportune time. Sometimes there's a bit of a struggle in the beginning and you just need a little bit of extra assistance. So the AGGB Community Birth Fund is what allows me to support those different types of families that I encounter on a regular basis, whether it be going towards helping offer them free support services or just being able to get them a basket with some clothes and some toys and, you know, different essentials. I get to do that through this fund. So you can also find out about the AGGB Community Birth Fund on our website as well.
Awesome. And please know for all you that are listening to that, if you feel as though that information came and you weren't ready just yet, you didn't have your pen and pencil, it's totally okay. Like I always say, there is gold in the show notes. So go to the show notes and all of the information that was provided just now is there. So feel free to go there. Please connect. Please, please connect with her. Like there's no point. Even if you're not in a birthing experience right now, and if you don't know anybody in the birthing experience around you, it's important to connect to people that are resources so that you are not just sitting there with your lip all poked out when people around you start going through experiences that maybe you didn't experience. Like you don't, you can offer something other than light and love. Like you can just say, oh, I know this one woman, she's in Atlanta. She's really dope at birthing. She's actually for us, about us. Yo, let me just run through my Instagram because I connected to her when I was supposed to. And so now we can do some reaching out and make a difference for them. So Shayla, thank you for coming on. Your energy, your background, your essence, the work you do has all not been for nothing. I believe that you are necessary in this world for sure. So thank you for being open, obedient to your own calling, because I believe that people will be made different. People will experience something they didn't know they needed once they encounter you. So thank you for showing up.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for creating this space and this platform to have people like me and walking in your purpose of what you're supposed to accomplish in this lifetime and staying steadfast with that. And you will be blessed immensely for doing so. So I'm so grateful to be able to share this space with you.
No doubt. And so reciprocal. And for those of you who are listening and co-creating yet another episode, thank you for showing up. This is done with you in mind. Please know that you are is done with you in mind. And yeah, I just really thank you. Please remember to be safe during Pride Month. And as always, I am Asa Laveau. Dreams and blessings.